Thank you for downloading this IFM Briefing podcast. I'm joined by Dr. Letizia Mortara, who's authored a report called Getting Help with Open Innovation. Dr. Mortara spoke at the IFM recently to explain about the role of intermediaries in helping introduce an open innovation culture to organisations. So if we can start, Dr. Mortara, by just explaining why we need to use intermediaries in this way.
Well, the reason is that we need to find capabilities, and sometimes organizations don't have all the capabilities they need to do open innovation, to do innovation themselves. And this phenomenon of having existing intermediaries is not new. There are a lot of service organizations, they always existed, who support large or small companies, firms of every size, doing innovation. The particular need for this report, I think, emerged from the fact that with this emergence of the paradigms of open innovation by Chesbrough, the proliferation of these intermediary and the kind of publicity, thanks also to the fact that there are means of communication and platforms supported by internet, has expanded so much that it's difficult to understand them fully. So there are a number of services available, and they always try to put themselves forward as supporting open innovation, well aware that communication and partnering between firms is of paramount importance, particularly in recent times. But from the users of this service, the perspective is, well, how are they different? They all talk about innovation, they talk about maybe connection, exchange, openness, network. They all have these words in their name, in their web page. But how can we choose between one and the other? And how it's possible to understand if one is better than the other for our needs? So this is where we started investigating this problem, just from a practitioner perspective and understanding how can you select. And so the work developed a 4 criteria that could be used, a sort of a language that enables the intermediary users to evaluate what the intermediaries provide, but also to kind of make an assessment depending on their own particular preferences, that there is no one solution. I mean, obviously, every of us has preferences, every organization has its own cultural characteristics, so no one intermediary is perfect and does everything for everyone. But perhaps being a bit more clear and giving a standardized explanation of what the services are, I hope to give a bit of help and support both intermediaries and their clients.
So before we go on to look at what those criteria might be, you talked about the need to acquire these capabilities. What kind of capabilities are we looking at here?
Well, in the work, we used the capabilities that derive from the kind of, it's kind of a refrain, a sort of a jargon that companies use now. It originates from one paper published by Witzman, I think, 2006. We need capability to identify what we want, so we need want capability. We need capabilities to identify the potential partner and maybe the technologies they have or like a good match, an opportunity to exploit our own resources, so we need capabilities to find. Then if we find our partner, we need capabilities to agree and create a contract or a sort of an agreement to work together, so we need capabilities to get. And finally, we need capabilities to manage the relationship. So this is the kind of core base of the capabilities we might need. And certain intermediaries don't stop there. They also provide other things like full R&D capabilities, because they could be like technology consultancies. They could have even extra things. And it doesn't mean that if one intermediary does on want, can't do find or get or manage, or they do all. There is a kind of mix and match of these capabilities that could be provided. So this is actually capabilities, the first of the criteria. So what do they help us with?
Right. And from that, do they also, can an organisation also choose from more than one intermediary then in order to acquire those capabilities? Or
sure. The problem is often the fact that there are different, and this is the second one of the other criteria, is the business model. So they obviously, if they help us, often, not always, but often, would like to get paid. And so one criteria is how these organizations like to get paid. So the business model and the costing model are varied. And they often are very flexible, but there are confusion or constraints of one method or the other. So some like to be paid by the hour, some others propose a membership, some others propose a kind of success fees. They're all mix and match of these costing models that could give flexibility of interaction, but on the other side create confusion. So going into the depth of these, I hope to create a little bit of understanding of how do they work and why they differ. So because we need to pay them, yes, we can ask many intermediaries to work with us, but I assume that each organization has a limited number of potential intermediaries they can really support. And even if they all were free, the internal resources to work with these intermediaries might be limited. So in real world, really, you need to make a selection because there is much more offering than perhaps the possibility that you have to use their services.
And the report kind of goes into that, doesn't it? It looks at this framework, this set of criteria that you need to evaluate each of these potential users to help the organisation. So we looked at, or you've mentioned capability, and you mentioned the cost of it. What are the other criteria that
we'll mention? One thing that I thought was quite important is the network they give access to. If we look into many of the kind of business proposition that all these intermediaries make, is the also making their potential clients get access to a particular network of expertise. And here we come also in a range of kind of jargon words, because of this open innovation and the intermediaries, there are new buzzwords that contribute to, let's say, perhaps sometimes confuse some of the user. What does crowdsourcing mean, or matchmaking mean, or what type of people could be accessed? So I looked a bit in depth at how intermediaries support this connectivity with the resources and knowledge outside their own boundaries. And so the network that intermediaries can provide is also a good way to understand if they're good for us. The reason is often if we are not certain, or if we link to an intermediary that provides us connection with people we already know, for instance, perhaps that's not a worthy experience. We might look for an intermediary that give us a different access
to new markets.
As I said, is very subjective from the needs of the organization and the preferences. However, evaluating what type of knowledge access we can get through this intermediary is quite important.
How clear does the organisation that's seeking the help of the intermediary need to be about its objectives? Because it seems from the discussion that they need to know what network they need to access, they need to know what capabilities they need to find. Do they have to have a very clear understanding of what they need, or can an intermediary help in that regard as well?
Potentially, yes. However, it turns out that intermediaries help you understand better what you want. That's why one of the capabilities of identifying the wants. Often in my interviews it emerged that some intermediary says, well, actually my customer thought they wanted this, and by coming here we could give them different perspectives of the same problem. So we could propose to look at the same problem in other ways, or perhaps to explore areas that they didn't have previous experience about. And so we could support them in further ways. So understanding what companies want is one of the achievements of perhaps working with intermediaries. So it's good to have an idea of what you want, but perhaps intermediaries can help you expand that and be more clear as well. Maybe constrain or limit what you want to do.
Is there specific questions that an organisation should bear in mind when they start to try and source these intermediaries, this
What do you mean with question? Perhaps by leading their search through these four criteria. And yeah. I think we mentioned three of them. Yeah. We haven't mentioned the fourth one, which is the style of interaction. So not all the interaction styles are the same and work as well for every organization. If you think about, for instance, the length of a project could have a different impact compared from industry to industry, or even the same organization in different areas have different timescales. So this is one criteria, but also if the interaction with intermediaries day-to-day as remote assistance, it could be one-off. How does it work, this relationship? Everybody has their own preferences.
And how it fits in with the needs of
yes, the and how what culturally fits us better. Because down at the end of the day, it's an interaction between people, and we're not all the same. So, but by self-analyzing themselves, the customers can, of the intermediaries can understand if an intermediary is likely to be good for them, or perhaps it's so different that it could be a challenging relationship. So this is the fourth criteria. Yes, I think that guiding the choice by comparing and contrasting intermediaries, people come across through these four characteristics, so the capabilities that are provided, the network that could be accessed, the style and relationship proposed by this intermediary, and the business model, so how they're going to be paid, and perhaps the IP position that these intermediaries have, if they want to get a stake in developing on in this partnership or not in terms of the IP, then perhaps it's possible to make a decision if any intermediary is good for the organization or not. I hoped to have given a sort of a logic assessing method rather than a definitive answer. This intermediary is good for this and this intermediary is good for that. I think it's not possible, also because intermediaries are very flexible. Quite rightly, they want to support the customer, so they always try to modify what they do and try to become more sophisticated in that.
And I suppose the final question is, the report also intended to be of use for the intermediaries themselves. What do you think they would have got out of the research that you've carried out?
Well, they can use, I hope, the same criteria to make an assessment of their market and how others are doing the same. So how can you position yourself? If these four questions are asked to you, what are you going to answer to your customers? What are your capabilities you offer? What networks and et cetera, et cetera? And also compare to you how the others are doing. So your key competitors, is there another service that is, you know, complementary to yours and you don't provide, and maybe another partner organization could. Perhaps I hope it could make clearer their message and help them in kind of say what they stand for.
Well, Dr. Matara, thanks so much for taking the time to speak to us this afternoon. If you're interested in downloading the report, it's available on the IFM website. You can just click on the briefings and reports link from the homepage. Thanks again for your time.
Thank you to you for inviting me.